Chapter 192. I can't believe I'm going back to Kirkwall to make way for the Herald of Andraste, Varric says. Eveline is going to shit herself with the amount of security she's going to have to set up for you. She might also kill me for bringing the Inquisition down on her. Eveline will not shit herself. Eveline will probably make Varric shit himself. Eveline is going to give him a look, adjust her sword, and browbeat Kirkwall's bureaucracy into some semblance of order in time, to present itself to the Inquisitor of Thedas as a semi-functional and respectable organization. She sounds scary. Is she anything like Cassandra? Llewellyn asks, sitting on one of the bags of stuff Josephine insists Varric goes with. It could be letters, it could be food, it could be bills and death threats. For all he knows, she sent him off with a little case full of cake. Varric isn't going to look, because he's actually half expecting Llewellyn to have snuck in something alongside it. Like a wyvern egg or some shit like that. Varric should probably check before he gets to Kirkwall. Being Aveline's friend isn't enough to keep him out of jail for bringing a baby something to Kirkwall. Poppy, Varric says, taking her hand and stopping her from picking the brown wrapping on a box open, thus revealing its mystery contents. Llewellyn looks at him, then back at the package, then at the string that ties it together, then back at him. Llewellyn waits for this process to complete itself before continuing. Let's never let Cassandra and Eveline meet, and leave it at that, shall we? Llewellyn nods, and Varric lets her go, and she goes back to prodding at the paper and string. It makes an alarming squelching sound that makes Llewellyn's face light up like it's Saturnalia. Varric sighs and resigns himself to being terrorized by guards. Will I like Kirkwall? Cullen goes a little gray whenever someone mentions Kirkwall. Will I do that too? I'm going to try and bring Cullen with me when I go, because Liliana says he needs a break, and I think this will be a nice break, because he won't be in charge, because Eveline will be, Llewellyn says. Also, Bull told me not to believe anything anyone in Kirkwall says, and Cullen is an excellent judge of character, and Cassandra told me to bring him with me, probably for that reason. I would bring Dorian, but I think Dorian might throw me overboard. Did you know he gets seasick? He's mentioned it multiple times. Whenever we're near a body of water, actually. They both turn around to where Dorian was. And, as if on cue, he takes that exact moment to sit down and groan, head in his hands. Cole tentatively pats his hair, looking confused and mildly amused. Llewellyn turns back to Varric and squints. Will any of your friends at Kirkwall kill me? Daisy likes you. Aveline's too professional for that. Isabella would probably be charmed within 5 minutes of meeting you. If not, you should probably bring Bull to distract her. And Fenris had his chance. Llewellyn continues to squint at him, before abruptly jumping to her feet and hugging him. I'm going to try and bring Meryl one of the new foals, so can you please tell her to find a way to make room? Eveline is going to throw him into the fucking docks and leave him to die. Sure, Poppy, Varric sighs, patting her back. No problem. Dorian is, for the most part, sleeping off a terrible cold that's been making the rounds through Skyhold. Llewellyn is the only one who seems immune. Even the tip of Solus's nose is red, and his voice is starting to lean towards scratchy. Dorian would be more pleased about this if he, himself, couldn't get up without the room spinning and his nose attempting to annex itself from his face. He has such a lovely nose, it really adds character to his profile. Cole, of course, is immune by default, and has mostly been bringing various people the random things that seem to always pop up in their heads when they have a cold. You know, those random trails of thought that you have when you're sick. Dorian had one about baby bees the other day, and Cole had told him, dejected and a little upset at himself, "I can't bring baby bees to Skyhold, because the cold isn't good for them, and they won't understand why." Dorian had fumbled around to pat at Cole's face, in an attempt to make his guilty look go away. He quite possibly said something along the lines of forgiveness, but it's really anyone's guess. He doesn't know what the hell Stitches has been medicating half the hold with, but this would be the perfect opportunity for someone who hates the Inquisition to strike. Half of them are drugged out of their skulls, and the other half are miserably sniffling in their boots. Josephine, that sweet angel, has been marching on like a true trooper, and Dorian is surprised to hear she only passed out onto a treaty, ink smearing onto her face, just this morning. Llewellyn continues to peel apples next to him. Cole's been steadily emptying the basket by bringing the apples to whoever. Her voice is a low stream of chatter that should most likely be giving Dorian a headache, but isn't. Dorian worms an arm out from underneath the covers, only to have her quickly snag his wrist and tuck his arm back under. She shushes him. Dorian was not aware that he was making any noise. Llewellyn shushes him again and switches out the towel on his forehead. "Why is it called a cold when you get a fever?"
"You get it because it's cold," Llewellyn says.
Does she read minds now?
"You're fairly obvious, Dorian," she says, and starts singing.
Dorian closes his eyes and wishes his nose wouldn't leave his face. He likes his nose.
"Rylan!"
He gives himself credit for not startling this time, and wonders if this means he's getting used to it, or if he's really just honed his instincts not to react to external stimulus anymore.
"Your worship," he says, turning around to bow his head at her.
Llewellyn, as always, looks mildly puzzled by the action, and awkwardly bows her head back.
"Rylan,"
she repeats, looking around, at the grass, at the sky, vaguely in the direction of the lone cloud to grace the sky today, at a mountain in the distance, at some nobles in flashy colors walking by, at her toes, at his helmet. Rylan waits, because you don't train for years as a Templar to get impatient. Llewellyn turns in a slow circle, hands folded behind her back, humming what he recognizes as one of the drinking songs Sutherland's group made up the other week. Rylan waits.
"Cullen had a message for you,"
Llewellyn says.
"I think it was important. Most of Cullen's messages are important, aren't they?"
"Yes, your worship." Rylan mentally goes through what the message could be about, and he wonders why a messenger didn't come fetch him sooner, or give him the message.
"I don't know the message," Llewellyn says after a bit more spinning. "I just overheard him saying it when I was climbing around his roof."
Rylan closes his eyes against the unsteady uptick in his chest, because he doesn't want to imagine the Herald of Andraste climbing the commander's shoddy roof unsupervised. Maker's fucking breath.
"Rylan, why are the Inquisition colors green and orange?"
Llewellyn asks.
"No one can tell me why."
"They blend into scenery well," Rylan says. Llewellyn just looks at him like she knows he's making it up. In hindsight, it really does blend in well with most terrain. Rylan sighs. It was all they could afford at first. Llewellyn nods.
"I liked your first answer better."
"So do most other people, my lady," Rylan says. Llewellyn takes his hand, reaches into her pocket,
and puts down what looks like an apple seed in the center of his palm, closing his fingers around it. She lets go of his hand and meanders off in the vague direction of the surgeons. Ryland sighs. "Takes years off your life talking to her, doesn't it?" Blackwell says as he walks by, on his way to the blacksmith's building. "Maker, yes," Ryland says.